Amen. Well, amen. God is good. Thank you, guys. That was some great worship. And good morning, everyone. My name's Justin. It's good to be with you. Obviously, Pastor Dave is not here this morning. He's on vacation. So if you want to be praying for him and Ann, they will be back soon. And so be praying. They have a great trip. They're actually in Hawaii right now. And so he texted me first service. He said, the greatest place to be listening to your message right now is on a balcony in Hawaii overlooking the ocean. So, he's having a great time. So my name's Justin, and I am one of our youth pastors here. I oversee the junior high ministry, and welcome to Pacific Hills. You know, as a youth pastor, I've worked with kids for a long time now, teenagers and junior hires now, and I've got kids of my own, and I've recently discovered I've kind of moved into a new stage of life, and I'm not very proud of it. It's a stage of life where I start distributing random dad advice without even knowing that it's coming. And I don't know if you guys can relate to this, but it's pretty cliche advice. And I hate cliches. I hate cliches more than anyone else. And yet they seem to just flow out of me from time to time. I was at a junior high breakfast. We had this little breakfast last week, a kind of get to know your pastor breakfast, where the junior hires came and met me at IHOP, and I bought them breakfast. And I saw some of the boys. I go, and they're taking photos of their meal. And I go, what are you guys doing? And they go, well, we're taking photos to send them to our friends that slept in. Make them jealous, you know. I wish they woke up, and I wish they could come to breakfast and hang out with us. And I go, yeah, you guys, you know, the early bird always gets the worm. And right as I said it, I was like, what? I almost died inside. I was like, what is coming out of me right now? And they looked at me like, you're so weird. You know, and I don't know if you ever catch yourself saying it, but cliches, they drive me wild. You know, you've heard everything happens for a reason, right? Yeah, well, thanks. I know why my dog died. It was old. But, like, everything does happen for a reason. And, you know, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. I hate lemonade, but okay. Or we have them even spiritually. You know, where God guides, God provides. And we come up with all these different cliches. Now, the thing that drives me wild about cliches is that they take so little thought. I mean, they just pop into your head. Yet, they're true. And so often they're true, and it drives me wild because these things like people don't think about or don't really think through, yet somehow they hit on this reality of life. Now, I don't bring this up to rant about cliches, but I bring it up because today Jesus is going to ask a question of us that's going to sound rather cliche. And I'll just give you the question out of the gate here. It's actually five rhetorical questions that we're going to walk through, but the summary of all his questions is this. Why are you so worried about your life? I mean, what? Really? Sounds like one of those Bob Marley lyrics or something like that. Jesus, isn't there a fish that pops off the wall from the 90s that says, don't worry, be happy? You really, like, that's your question to me? Why am I so worried about my life? Don't you know I've got responsibilities and stresses? Isn't this some kind of a joke, maybe, kind of a question, like an intro to a sermon or something like that? But Jesus would say, no, I have a real question for you this morning. Why are you so worried about life, and your life in particular? Now, unlike most cliches, he's actually going to walk us through something of substance when he asks that question of us this morning. He's going to walk us through a teaching on worry. And so if you have your Bibles, open up with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be in verses 25 through 34 this morning in Matthew chapter 6. Now, if I hopefully it rings a bell when I say Matthew chapter 6, some of you Bible students will recognize that that's right there smack dab in the middle of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. From Matthew chapters 5 through 7, Jesus is teaching his disciples. It's one lengthy, long, three-chapter discussion that he has with his disciples. Chapter 5, he called them to himself while he was up on the small mountain. He sat down and they stood while he taught. And he began to go through kind of a thesis for what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He began to go through a new perspective of life that he wanted his disciples and followers to have as it pertains to living in his kingdom. And the Sermon on the Mount can be kind of summarized as that in its briefest way, but he deals with different things. He deals with the law. He deals with our hearts. He deals with our actions. And in this section, chapter 6, in verse 25, in this area of the Sermon on the Mount, he's actually dealing with our priorities. If you've read it before, over in verse 21, he says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And later on in verse 24, he says you cannot serve God and mammon, or God and stuff, or God and riches. He's been kind of hammering in that we can't have two gods in our lives, where our treasure is, our heart is, and now he's going to get to the idea of worry as kind of the culmination of his teaching here in verses 25 through 34. So we're going to walk through those verses and hopefully pick up a new perspective on worry and priorities in our life. We'll start by just reading verse 25 together. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He starts here, and this might be a familiar verse to some of you who have read your Bibles often or have walked with the Lord for a long time. And maybe if you've never heard this before, this might be a verse that you would be quick to kind of read through or pass by. But I want to slow down, and I just want to read that beginning part again. Not the part where he says, therefore. He's connecting this teaching to the previous teachings. But he says, therefore, and I'm going to read it real slow. Do not worry about your life. Now, that's not me making it up. That's Jesus. And this kind of is a hard thing for me to say. It's like, how can I tell a bunch of people in here, because I know we've all got worries, how can I tell everyone, don't worry about your life? But Jesus goes, no, I want you to hear this. Do not worry about your life. When I hear that and I kind of go, doesn't God know what I'm going through? I mean, what hippie hijacked the Bible printer and snuck this verse in? It's kind of like the only thing that this statement is missing is the word dude at the end. Like, do not worry about your life, dude. You know, it's like, how is this Jesus, God in the flesh, telling us as he looks at our lives and he knows all the intricacies and knows everything going on, how is he telling me to not worry about my life? I mean, don't you understand, God, that I've got real, things that you've given to me that I need to take care of, real responsibilities. I've got a family. And the stresses and pressures that come with that. I've got kids to raise. I'm a grandparent, and I've got a family that relies on me. I've got the house and all the things that go with that. I've got rent, and I've got bills, and I've got a job, or I've got a business to run. And you're going to look at me and tell me not to worry about my life? And on top of that, Jesus, don't you know what in the world is going on? Now, sorry if I'm stressing you out here by going through all our worries, but... But, I mean, don't you know what's going on in our world? Don't you turn on the news and see the politics and see the wars and see the, you know, the suffering and my own health? If I'm honest, I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm stressed about my health, and I'm stressed about, you know, all the different things that I have going on in my life. I look in the mirror and I see the gray hair coming on, and I see the wrinkles that are forming. God, what do you mean don't worry about my life? Could there be any more cliche-sounding statement than that? But Jesus would say to you, I get it. I'm going to now walk you through why we worry. And I'm going to walk you through a new way to approach your life and hopefully to ditch some of those things that you're worried about. So he starts in verse 25. He starts by saying, about what you will eat, or don't worry about what you're going to drink, or about your body and what you will put on. See, as he begins to talk to the disciples there, he addresses something that's not particularly relevant to us. I mean, not often do we worry about where we're going to eat. I mean, that's a pretty common thing, especially if you woke up today and you didn't have food in your fridge. You know, you could come here and eat a bunch of Oreos, and, you know, we've got lemonade, and we've got you covered. For most of us, food isn't the greatest worry that we have. Neither is clothing. I mean, you can go on Amazon, you can buy something, have it at your doorstep in the afternoon, you can head down to the store. I mean, we've got Costco and Walmart. There's no shortage of places we can go get clothes, we can get food at. And so when he says this to them, we have to understand he's kind of speaking in context to their society. They lived, a term we would use, paycheck to paycheck. They didn't have money, especially these disciples following Jesus, right? They had given up everything and just were trekking around with him. They didn't have extra clothing. They didn't have closets they could go in into the morning and grab new clothing. And they didn't have food. And as we read last week, often they didn't even have enough food for the day. Jesus had to do some miraculous stuff to kind of make it appear. But they didn't have everything at their fingertips. And some of their most basic needs, they were stressing about every day. And as we look at that, we have to understand that Jesus is looking at them and he's going, I know that these are your priorities, when you wake up in the morning? How am I going to live? And Jesus takes what is their priority, and I think he would say to us, he goes, I know your priorities as well. And a lot of them relate to those basic needs in life. You know, I know that you're stressed about your job and about your money and the finances. It's actually, you know, statistically one of the greatest stresses that anyone has right now is finances. And I know that you're worried about where you're going to, you know, what's going to happen with your kids. And I know that you're worried about, for those of you who are dating or in relationships, your singleness and finding the one. But listen, I would say to you, don't worry about those things. Don't worry about your health. Don't worry about your kids. Don't worry about your job or the economy. Don't worry about your life. Now, as he begins to say that, you have to understand what he's doing here as he's addressing these priorities. And this is kind of helpful when we begin to look at worry, is he's relating worry to the things that we prioritize in life. And this is one of the basic understandings about worry that we need to kind of come to as we look at what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you worry about what you prioritize in your life. Whatever your greatest priorities are, that's what you worry about. That's why you don't worry about where I'm getting my next meal or what I'm eating for dinner or how I'm going to pay my taxes or how my kids are doing in school. Why? You might have sympathy for that, but that's relative to me. You're not going to wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh, man, Justin's got some gray hair on his face. He's getting older, you know? You would be crazy if that's what you woke up worrying about. No, you worry about what you prioritize in your own life. And Jesus is saying, listen, okay, because we're going to get into priorities later. I want you to understand this, that what you prioritize is what you worry about in your life. Or he already said it, and I'll kind of repeat that verse, but where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Right? From verse 21 that I mentioned. He's going, understand this, your heart is invested in where you worry. Now, the worry comes from the fact that we have these priorities, we have these things that we care about, and when we look at tomorrow, often, if we're honest about the future, a lot of things are uncertain. A lot of things that deal with health are uncertain. A lot of things that deal with your kids, a lot of things that deal with your job and the economy, they're very uncertain. And so we look at things that we don't have answers to that are priorities to us. And we look at things that we don't know how they're going to work out in the future. And we go, oh man, now I'm worried. Now I'm stressed out. But this is where Jesus wants us to take a step back. He asks a question at the end of verse 25 and he says this. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? This is his first rhetorical question. But what he's saying is, listen, okay. You've got these worries, and they're important things, but isn't life bigger than food for his disciples? Isn't life more than clothing? Or if he were to say it to us, isn't your life bigger than your 401k? Isn't there more to life than your role as a parent or a grandparent or a brother or a sister? Isn't life more than your business and your job? Isn't life more than finding the one? And what he's doing here, and this is an important step when we're dealing with worry in our lives, is he's saying, listen, so often you get so focused on one thing in your life. You get so focused on something that you take it out of proportion as far as the rest of your life, and you forget the fact that, you know what, life goes on even if this doesn't. There's more to life than food. There's more to life than family. There's more to life than all of this. And we so often get fixated on one thing and focused on one thing that all of life depends on this one thing. And he says, listen, the first thing I want you to do is to take a step back and go, yeah, life's a little bit more than this. Life's a little bit more. And you can even look at your own past and go, yeah, there's so many worries that I've had that I thought life was going to end if they happened. And when I see that they happened, I realize, man, life went on. And he goes, worry, one of the first things about worry that you need to do is get a proper perspective on what you're worrying about. There's more to life than that. But he doesn't leave it there. He goes on. In this next section, he really dives into worry in verses 26 through 30. So let's read them together. He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? He goes, okay, so we're talking about worry. And you've got all those things in your mind. You've got those anxious feelings when you're feeling worried. You've got that stress. You know that all eyes are on you and the deadline is coming. And you're living kind of in that land of what if this happens and the world feels like it's going to end if it doesn't work out. And I hope your stress level's coming up. But he goes, I want you to do something. Look at the birds. It's like, what? What kind of hippie statement is that? Yeah, look at the birds. It's like, come on, Jesus. I've got real response. Look at the birds. Notice that they don't worry about life. He wants you to hit pause for a moment, to slow down, take a breath, and go, look at the nature, look at the world working around you. And in particular, he picks out the birds. I love the birds because there's some cool things about them. He goes, look at the birds. They work hard and they're fluttering about and they're doing their work for the day, but they don't store up their food in barns. They're not saving up for tomorrow. They're not worrying about their college education and they're not stressed out about their 401k and they're not planning for retirement like we are. And he goes, notice how they live. They work hard. They're frantic. They're always busy and bustling, but they're not worried about what they don't have today. He goes, now, notice that God still takes care of them. And on top of this, I was listening to someone that pointed out a great point on birds. He goes, and for those of you who are parents, notice how birds parent. They build a nest way, way up high where no one can get to it. They hatch their eggs up there, feed them for a short time, and then they just push their kids out. Hope that somewhere along the fall, onto the floor, they figure out life and begin to fly away. He goes, birds have figured out life. And I think, I mean, for me, I look at that and I go, holy cow. You know, my son came home the other week and he goes, or before school ended, and he goes, I asked him how school was, and he said, it was okay. They just told us we can't run on the playground anymore because it's too dangerous out on the blacktop. And I was like, oh, man. You know, we're bubble wrapping our kids nowadays and we put them out there with helmets on and we're just, you know, I just want to push him out of the nest and see if he flies. But, you know, God, Jesus goes, listen, the birds live life relatively stress-free. And he goes, understand this, God takes care of them. God has created the system around them that works out and takes care of them. And now he goes, now take a step further back and understand this, if you notice that. God takes care of you. How much more valuable are you than the birds of the air? Now think about this for a moment. He's really asking you a serious question. It sounds kind of rhetorical, but how much more valuable are you? He looks at you and he says, I am making you in my image. He didn't make the birds in his image. He didn't make your dog in his image. He made you in his image. He looked at you and he said, you are something special to me that's going to reflect me. And not just that, we can step back from this story and understand this if we're looking at value for ourselves. He looked at you and he said, you are made in my image and I care about you so much that I would send my only begotten son to die for you. And not just on your best day, but on your worst day, my son died for you. How much value does he have in you? How much value and much more value does God look at you and see than he does the birds? He says, so why are you so stressed out about your life? If God takes care of the littlest of things, don't you think he's going to take care of your life? Don't you think that he's going to work it out? Don't you think that he knows what's going on in your family? He knows what's going on at your job? He knows what's going on at wherever you're at in life and whatever you're staying up and stressing about? Don't you think that he knows what's important to you? And don't you think that he's going to take care of you as well? And on top of that, he says in verse 27, I love verse 27, he looks at him and he goes, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? He goes, what does worry do for you anyways if you're going to sit there and worry? How many of you guys can make yourself taller by just worrying about it? I mean, I wish we could. I wish I could look in the mirror and just make myself skinnier or make myself, you know, whatever. But it doesn't work like that. Worry, as a matter of fact, won't do anything good for your life, is what he's saying. It's never going to add to it. As a matter of fact, if you look at worry and what it does to us, worry will never, ever fix the problem you're in. It's only going to make your own life and your own today worse. You know, they've done a study about worries and modern worries and people that worry a lot. And they found that out of every 10 things you worry about, only one of them is likely to actually happen. That means 90% of the things that we stress and we worry and we get anxious over, 90% of the things aren't ever going to happen. I think Jesus looks at us and he goes, yeah, okay, you don't need to worry. And of those 10% of the things, they've actually found this. So if you know that 90% of the things that you worry about aren't going to happen, the 10% you might go, oh, wow, 10%, that's one out of 10 things that is going to happen. And maybe you're a pessimist, and so that's a bad number for you. Well, think about this. They've found and they've studied people. Think about this as if it's worth the one out of 10 things. They've found that people that stress and worry a lot have greater risk for major problems in their life, such as cancer and heart disease. They have higher anxiety levels, therefore suffer a lot more panic attacks. And when you worry and when you stress, in your body, your cortisol levels rise. And as that happens, your immune system falls, and you're more prone to get sick and disease. And on top of that, they found that worriers and stressors get worse sleep. And as you get worse sleep, you've got a whole lot of other problems. You're less energized to do life. And they found that depression levels in people that worry and stress a lot are a lot higher. All that for one out of 10 things that is actually going to happen in your life. You can see what Jesus is saying here. Worry is never going to add anything good to your life. If anything, it's going to subtract from it. I love what Corrie Ten Boom said. I found a quote by her. It's such a good quote. She said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it empties today of its strength. And it's so true that as we worry, as we strive to figure out what's going to happen tomorrow and what we can do to change tomorrow, Jesus looks at us and he goes, don't you understand that you're never ever going to be able to change your life? If anything, you're going to take away things from today. Worry's never going to change the uncertainty of your future, but it's going to ruin your present. As he points this out, Jesus has one more thing to say about worry in verses 31 through 32. He says, therefore, and he repeats himself, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Here Jesus gets to another important point that we need to understand about worry. He goes, listen, and he's talking about the Gentiles. This is what the Gentiles do. And in their time, that just simply meant these were not people of the Jewish faith. We'd kind of retranslate that into modern times of saying, this is what people who don't know God, who don't trust in Jesus, this is what they do when they live. They worry. There's a difference between people that follow Jesus and follow God, and there's a difference between people in the world. And Jesus says, the people of the world are going to be people of worry because they don't know what tomorrow holds. They don't know how to deal with the uncertainty of life. But for those of you who come to me and those of you who follow me, this is an issue of faith. We often don't really understand this. Your worry is an issue of your faith. It reveals, actually, your lack of faith. He says, you, when you come to God, you have someone that you know cares for you. Someone that you know created you. Someone that you know is invested in your life. Therefore, your worry reveals the fact that you're not trusting in him. And he goes, that's how the world lives. It should be different with people that follow God. He goes, it should be different with us. We have a place to go. We have someone to go to when we're feeling worried and stressed. And we have a place where we can turn and find peace. I love the way Paul says it over in Philippians chapter 4. In verses 6 through 7, he says this, be anxious for nothing, or don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, Paul's hitting on exactly what Jesus is talking about. Listen, we as God's followers have someone we can go to with our worry, with our stress, and we can go in prayer to him, we can talk to him, and it will make a difference in our life. He will give us peace. He will give us, he will guard our hearts, it says, as we come to him with those things that trouble us for today. And as I look at this, I think what Jesus is saying is, this is a great witness to those outside the faith. I know sometimes we hear the word witness and we think, it's just what I say to other people. It's, if I'm a witness for Jesus Christ, it's just me going out and telling them. And so I've got to know all my Bible verses and theology, and I've got to really understand apologetics so I can argue with someone. But I think Jesus would look at you and he'd go, no, you want to know a great witness you can have to those outside the faith? It's in your worry and your trust in God. It's one of the greatest messages you'll ever preach. It's when someone who doesn't know God is stressing about the world around them, is stressing about the politics and the political landscape and all that's going on in the world, and they're stressing about the economy and their job and this and that, and they look at you and they see someone who's not worried, who works hard and is diligent and obeys God but isn't worried about tomorrow. That speaks volumes as to what you believe is really true in your life. And what Jesus says is that your worry is actually a reflection of your faith. And as he's doing this, he's kind of setting us up for his final point here, his application, if you would, in verses 33 through 34. So let's read those final verses as we finish up this morning. He says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." I love this as he closes. Because he goes, I understand that your worry and you're stressed and you're struggling and anxious over things that are important to you. But I want to give you something new to prioritize in your life. Right? Because our worries come from our priorities. And he goes, listen, this is why you worry. Because you have the wrong priority ultimately in life. And so he gives us a new priority when he says, seek first in verse 33. That's a word of priority. Seek above all else. Seek as your top priority the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because you want to know why you worry? You want to know why you stress? You want to know why you wake up at night and in a cold sweat trying to think of solutions to all the problems around you? Well, it's because you have the wrong priority. You're trusting in the wrong thing. And he goes, I want you to have a new perspective here. I want you to have a new view when you look at your life. I want you to look at your life and say, no, before I worry about my job, before I worry about my future, before I worry about my retirement and those years to come, I want you to filter it through this. Am I seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness? Now, to kind of simplify it, what does it mean to seek God's kingdom? That can be kind of a confusing term. I think to really understand in the basics, the nuts and bolts of the idea of God's kingdom, you can simplify it to the fact that it's the place where God's will is done. Jesus kind of pointed that out earlier in the chapter, over in the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. If you remember over in chapter 6 earlier on in verse 10, I think 10 and 11, he says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then he says, Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. To Jesus, this was always the crux of the kingdom of God. It was the place where God's will was being done. And so if you really want to kind of understand the nuts and bolts of the kingdom of God, it's this, you know, am I seeking first God's will being done in my life? Is that my top priority? That contains all the ideas of righteousness and the kingdom of God and everything else. Am I seeking first God's will in my life? When it comes to my job or the business that I run, am I busying myself for the day with all the things that God calls me to do? And then am I willing to say, you know what, I can't control the economy, I can't control everything else, but I'm doing everything that you've called me to do today here. So it's yours, God. It It's your kingdom, you take care of it. With my kids, am I raising them? Am I doing everything that God calls me to do with them today? Then am I willing to not hold on to them, not hide them, but hand them over to God and say, you know what, God? Your kingdom come, your will be done. In everything, in relationships, if you're a single person, are you trying to force things to happen? Are you trying to force your dating life? Are you trying to force yourself to find the one? Or are you willing to say, you know what, God, I'm going to do what you call me to do. And say, you know what, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. You see, what begins to happen when we live with this focus in mind, when we begin to say it's not all about me forcing things to happen, it's not all about me waking up and stressing and striving over what's going to happen next and trying to figure out every answer to every problem in my life. He goes, when you begin to surrender and say, you know what, God, it's about your will first and your kingdom first. And so maybe this thing works out, or maybe this thing doesn't work out, but your kingdom come, your will be done. That's what I want first in my life. It's like we can take this big breath of relief, this big sigh. We can let go, because ultimately the future, if we're really honest, is uncertain. There's so many things. You could be driving home and be hit by a car, and you know, you can't control everything. But when you can learn to give control of your life over to God and say, you know what, God, whatever happens, I'm fine with. I know that you're going to take care of me. I know that I can risk things in my life because I know that you're there with me. I know that you're going to take care of me. And all I want as I look at my life, and all I want, and I know it's going to work out if I do this, all I want is for your kingdom and your will to be done in my life. Then he goes, I got it. At the end of verse 33, he says there, all these things shall be added to you. If you're trusting me, God would say, if you're living your life and just submitting it to me, I'll take care of everything. But the more you try and control it, the more you try and make what you want to happen happen, he goes, you're going to end up in the land of what if, and worries are going to overtake you, and they're going to weigh you down. And the life that you could live is going to be a shadow of the life that God would have for you to live. So he says, listen, this week, as we take on this new perspective here, he asks all of us, what are you worried about? What is stressing you out? What are you waking up and going, oh, how is this going to work out? Oh, how am I going to pay this bill? Oh, how am I going to you know, see my kids off to college? Or what am I going to do with my retirement? Or what's next? And God will look at you and he goes, what are you so stressed and worried about? And then, this is Jesus speaking, not me. Jesus would say to you, I want you to stop worrying about your life. Stop worrying. Remember how much I care for you. Remember how valuable you are to me. And if you learn to live with my kingdom and my will as your top priority, then I will take care of the rest of your life. I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to spend time losing life over the things that are weighing you down. We have an amazing God who's given us so much life to live. So let's not waste it in worry. And let's spend this week trusting him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, we know that you hear every worry and every anxious thought that we have. Every bit of stress, Lord, you ultimately know. All of us have different things. All of us have different worries, and some of them are great and some of them are small. But Lord, you care about every single one of them. And this morning we thank you for the reminder that you care for us. You love us so much. The Lord, as the song we sang said, you're never going to let us down. You're always going to be with us. And so this week, we want to live with that trust. We want to face tomorrow and face the issues that we have to deal with, knowing that you're with us, no matter what we're in. We thank you, Jesus, that you'd be so bold as to say to us, stop worrying. about your life. It's in your name we pray. Amen.